for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Saturday morning, May the 26th, 1990. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson is the speaker of the morning.
Oh, Lord, you say in your word, Lord, that whenever two or three are gathered in your name, harmonizing, agreeing your spirit, Lord God, symphonizing, that you'll be there with them, Lord. And whatever we bind on this earth shall be bound in the heavens. And whatever we loosen on this earth shall be loosened in the heavens. Oh, Lord, we stand on your word this day, Lord God, and we come against the power and the principalities in the heavens, Lord God. Lord, we come against the powers and the principality of greed and antichrist, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we come against the power of greed over our nation and antichrist, Lord God, that is moving forward, Lord. We come against him and we bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind greed and antichrist in the name of Jesus. We bind greed and antichrist. We come against the Queen of Heaven. We come against Jezebel, the Queen of Heaven, in the name of Jesus. We come against her. Oh, we bind her. We put our foot on her neck. We put our foot on the neck of Jezebel and on greed and on antichrist in the name of Jesus. And we bind these things in Jesus' name. And we pull them down into the dirt. And we stand on them, oh Lord. You said that we would put our foot on their neck, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we pull them down and we loosen your spirit, Lord God. Your spirit of giving and sharing and serving, Lord God. Your spirit of counsel and might and wisdom and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we loosen your spirits, Lord God, to go out, Lord God, the spirit of wisdom to our leaders and knowledge and revelation, Lord God, and counsel and might, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, to lead us forth and to be a righteous and a godly nation, Lord God, that we might live in all peace and godliness, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord, we come against the powers and the principalities assigned over this campground, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of confusion, Lord God, of slumber and confusion, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We come against slumber and confusion and sleepiness. We come against the deafness, spiritual deafness and blindness, Lord. We come against the principalities, Lord, that would hold us, that would limit our vision so that we cannot see you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We come against these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We come against Jezebel, the Queen of Heaven. We come against rebellion against the anointed leadership placed here by God. We come against rebellion. We come against backbiting and tail-bearing and gossiping. We come against envy and immolation and separation in the name of Jesus. We bind these things in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of greed, against the greed and selfishness and self-centeredness and pride and ego and vanity. We bind all these things that have been placed over this campground in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we pull them down. We put our foot on their neck in the name of Jesus. And we loosen your word, Lord God, to go forth. We loosen the word of God to go forth to heal and deliver in the name of Jesus, to restore in the name of Jesus. Lord, we listen. You loosen your word, Lord God. We loosen your serving spirit, Lord God. Your giving and serving spirit, Lord God. The spirit of the servant, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. For you said, he who serves shall be first. We loosen that serving spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. That we might truly serve you, Lord, and thereby serve one another, and serve one another thereby, that we might serve you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh God, give us a servant's heart, Lord. Give us a servant's heart to go forth and serve you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. That we might carry forth from this place, Lord, your word, Lord God. Your message, your gospel, Lord God. Oh, that your name might be glorified. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, and we praise you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Know ye not that ye are the light of the world? Have I not told you in my word that even as I am the light, so also are ye? Ye are the light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. But ye, the light, shall dispel all darkness. Even the very pits of hell itself shall the darkness be dissolved and unfold and destroyed by the brightness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in you and you and you and you. For ye are that people on whom the ends of the world have come to lighten the light and lighten the light of all ages, that the glory of the kingdom of God and of His Son and of the everlasting Father, who is the judge of all spirits, shall stand in the earth and declare the goodness of the Lord. And ye that is in the darkness, that is the hidden things of darkness, ye are to expose and destroy, saith the Lord. Every principality and powers of the darkness of that has not been, but is in the imaginations of man, and that is alive and real, shall be put under your feet, thus saith the Lord. Ye my light, my own, my chosen, my body, saith God.
Praise your name. For thus saith the Lord God, know ye not that now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus? For I say to you, children, that I desire to answer your prayers. I desire that you might come to know me, that you might come to know me with a knowing. Oh, children, I desire that you come to me with your prayers. I desire that you come, that I might answer you. For is it not said in my word, if you have not, you have not because you ask not. But if you ask and you receive not, you ask amiss, that you might squander it on your own lust. Oh, children, when you ask amiss, come not under condemnation, but come to me with a servant's heart, seeking me. Seek my face. Seek my face and seek my will. For when you pray according to my will, you will have what you pray for. So seek my face and seek my will, that I might answer you and provide for your every need, that I might guide you forth into glory, that I might guide you forth to be a glorious and a fulfilled people, that I might meet your every need, that I might be all in all for you, that I might fill you and be your all in all, saith the Lord.
So I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Mm-hmm. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thy nakedness doth not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest be see. I counsel thee, I counsel thee.
I'm not going to preach this morning per se. And what I have for you this morning may be old hat for some of you. And I just don't know on the time element how far we're going to get into this, but I'm only going to obey the Spirit. We're standing on holy ground. Our prayers are being answered about this morning, and as I've been seeking the Lord about coming to camp, He kept telling me to minister and teach on the subject of the mind and obedience and fear, in addition to that one that we shared on the finger calling us. And so this morning, with respect to the time and the moving of the Spirit and the power of God that's here, those of you that are battling with spirits of fear, how many are in a battle, in a warfare with a fear spirit? Okay, there's some of you. Probably some that don't want to raise your hands right now. But Those of you that have, I want you to be specially aware that the presence of God is here to set you free this morning. And we're going to just look at many, many scriptures, and I feel like the student sitting under the teacher with the Moody's here this morning in this area. But I have to share with you on some things as God has given them to me with regards to deliverance. And some of you have expressed to me during the course of this camp some very sincere cries of your heart. Deliverance is new to me. I don't understand it. Demonology, being demonized, devils, etc. And I thought when I was saved, I got rid of all this, and on it goes. And I have to tell you that I wore those same shoes for a long time. And I mentioned this story to someone once, but I'll repeat it. I was preaching, in a little church in Wisconsin that nobody wanted to come to. And God had told us way back before we were ever pastoring a church that we would come against and have a deliverance ministry. And it came to my mind again yesterday when that word came to us. And after about 9 months, this group of people grew from 7 to over 250 for a high. God blessed also for other reasons. And we suddenly began to have people come from mental institutions in their white garb, and they were demonized. They were full of devils. And an example, and Sister Sutter could relate some stories because she came about that time on the scene too. We had one that would come to the service and she would be able to sit in a praise service for a period of time, and the devils would get a hold of her and she would slither like a snake up over the pew down on the floor, and she would slither like this. Well, you say, well, why didn't she get set free? And I will tell you that we held deliverance sessions with that young lady, and we just weren't at a point in our life where, in our spiritual walk, where it was a thing, where she was set free. But by the same token, they would bring in carloads of people that were demonized, and they would get set free. But we didn't know what we were doing. We had no knowledge of deliverance. I didn't even know what it was. I just knew that when I was in a mental institution, I was very sick, and I thought all these people were normal until I started to get better. And then when I got better, I realized that they were not normal, and I was. And one of the hardest things for me to do was to convince my doctors, etc., that I was okay to leave because they just kept patting me on the back. You know, oh, that's all right, Rod. Yeah, sure, we know you want to go home, and on and on. But I learned a lot through that experience, so that's how I got really indoctrinated into it. And we just relied on a prayer, and we could go on with stories of things that happened, but we're not here for that purpose. At any rate, I was spirit-filled, speaking in tongues, preaching the gospel, souls were getting saved. And a young lady came up to me after the service, and she spoke in a man's voice, the voice that came out, and said some very unclean things to me. And her physical appearance, she would have been attractive if you were in the world. She dressed to accentuate the uncleanness of her life, and it was an awkward situation. And so in my boldness and limited knowledge, I just stood right there and I said, in the name of Jesus, you unclean spirits, you come out of her. And the unclean spirit spoke to me and said, you can't cast me out. You've got the same spirit in you. Now, I mean, that's learning the hard way. I was crushed. I mean, my Pentecostalism, spiritualism went from A to Z, if there was a Z on the scale. It totally, totally deflated me for a long period of time. And I had to seek God and find out, because there was just nobody there to teach me what was going on. And, boy, I'll tell you, I found out I did have what she had. And all of a sudden, God used that experience to make me aware that my eyes were watching things that were impure without even realizing it, and that my ears were seeking things that were impure, and I didn't realize it. Now, this is true confession, I guess, huh? But I want you to be aware of that. So that's how I came into understanding that a Christian can have, can be demonized. And then I used all the arguments that are standard. A house divided against itself and cannot stand. And that's true. I couldn't stand. You see, I was looking at it from a different point of view. And I was saying I couldn't be standing if I had a devil, and I couldn't be saved if I had a devil. And that's not what it says. It says, buddy, you're going to fail if you don't get set free. And many, many other scriptures like that. So, I don't know how far we're going to get. We're just going to trust the Lord's leading and bear with me. Those of you that this may be old hat to, but the Spirit of the Lord will minister life to you. Starting with Galatians 5 and 25, and the subject we're going to deal with is the mind and deliverance and ultimately, the Lord willing, the spirit of fear. And try not to preach. Now, when I have summer camp, we do a lot of youth camp work, and here we do the same thing, and I just love being with the kids. It's just, I really enjoy it, and we've got a rule. If you get sleepy or your derriere gets numb, you stand up and turn around and sit down. Do it quietly, decently, and in order. You're not going to bother anybody. May not be too religious, but I'll tell you something. I'm here to do business with God. And I really don't give two hoots and a holler about what formality is. Okay, and I don't teach the children disrespect for it, but you can do it with respect. Eventually, we're going to learn to sit and fall out a window and not get hurt. Until we get there. So, you're not going to hurt my feelings. And certainly it's more important for us to learn and flow. Just do it quietly. That's all we ask. Okay? We find the first principle in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. And principle number one is this, that if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The fact of the matter is that there is a goal that is attainable. That I will not only live in the Spirit all the time, which I can, it says, if we live in the Spirit, I do. The Spirit of God lives in me, and I live in the realm of the presence of God. Now, I walk out of that realm at times intentionally of my own voluntary will, or else because a demonic force has such control over me that it has me defeated, and it drives me out of that will. But the command of God is that I should, as I live in the Spirit, I must learn to walk in the Spirit. Immediately there is warfare started, right at the start. And let's look at the warfare area. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. By the way, I don't have this from the manual or anything. I just got the manual yesterday, and I'm so grateful for it. So this is kind of my way of doing things again. See what happens here, huh? Okay. Now, we need to see verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That means fit. We're the temple of God because of what the Father has done. To be partakers, that's have communion with. The inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. First of all, I am saved. All right? You rest secure. Once you have come to Jesus Christ And once you have been, as it is termed in the Word of God, born again, you have received a seed within you that Peter says is an incorruptible seed. And I am so glad that I carry a seed within me that cannot be touched in any manner, shape, or form by the ugliness of Satan and his works, or by the astraying of my fleshly laziness. And you rejoice in that incorruptible seed, because that is the strength that's going to carry you through in times of wrestling against flesh and darkness. If it weren't for that seed dwelling in there, ministering to me, truly I could not make it, all right? Now, I want to draw your attention to the principle of darkness and light for a minute. So go back with me to Genesis chapter 1. I have a whole teaching I do on this, but for the sake of this morning, we're just going to look at just one thing. And I want you to see a principle. In verse 3, first of all, God said, "Let there be light." God was not talking about the sun, moon, and stars there. Look at verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." Okay. Now, the second thing I want you to see is, and God saw that the light, that it was good. Let me put it to you this way. God assigned the ministry to light to perform good. That is the function of light. The function of light is to bring about good. Okay? And God divided the light from the darkness. This tells me that darkness was there, and we know that it was. Darkness is a word that means a crooked path up into the heavenly, amongst other things, or a crooked stairway. I think of, if you've ever tried to walk the stairway up to the office here, that's an excursion. It's an adventure if you're not used to it. And it's a spiral staircase. Well, one of the definitions of darkness is that. Okay? And what God did was, first of all, He caused a division between the two so that there was definitely good divided from the dark. Oh boy, I got to get back on the subject here. Now, God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. But I want to draw your attention to the next sentence. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, in my rationale, I start my day with light and I end it with evening. Isn't that right? There's a redemption principle here all the way back in Genesis, and that's this. God redeemed out of darkness with light because it was evening, it was darkness, and He called forth light. So, you know, the first thing He mentions here in creation is evening. You get it? And then He says what should be the end of the day is the beginning. A life is day. There's a redemption principle. You need to understand, and of course John chapter 1 talks about light and on it goes. That's enough of the subject of light, but I want you to see that the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the Spirit that lives within you, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, does live in you. We sang that. And it needs to be light because the ministry of that Spirit that lives within you is to expose darkness and to drive out the force of darkness, anything that's crooked. Okay? Secondly, I am being saved. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. But ye have not... I'm going to hurry, so just catch up if you can. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Three words to draw your attention to: put off, put on, and renewed. None of those are absolute happenings like instant McDonald's hamburger. They are processes. As I've said before, they are the process of getting dressed. Another way of expressing that would be clothed with. Put your clothes on. Put the garment on. Put the garment of God on. And your mind then becomes renewed. And renewing means the course of its thinking is changed. You know, a ship does not change its course instantly. Say, by the way, I need to talk to you about fishing. When you're picking on things, don't mention fishing. It's sacred, brother. I said to your wife, ouch. The Lord is so good to us. We get a day or two off, and we live near a Wisconsin River, and we pray up there. Really, we do, but we fish too. We love to fish. But it's impossible to turn a ship or a boat on a dime. It takes a while to change the course. Likewise, it is with the habits of my life. You know, when I first got saved, I was gloriously delivered from being a chain smoker. I went like that, three packs a day to nothing. I've never had a cigarette since. My wife, it took 6 months. She was gloriously delivered from alcohol. She went from an alcoholic to that. She went out in the backyard and smashed her booze bottles, and it made TV news. Isn't that something? Embarrassed her parents? Oh. But anyhow, there are some things in our life that we have to do some battles in to get the victory over. And there were many. Now, because of my criminal activities, I had many criminal habits developed. And I didn't even realize that they were criminally motivated. I use criminal in place of the word sin because they were sin. But criminal also is a descriptive adjective that I use to describe the sin. It became an ingrained habit, and that nature habit had to be changed over a period of time. Now, and it still crops up every now and then, and I have to do warfare against it, and so forth. So that process, we are being saved. Now look at Revelation 22, 3 to 5. And we could shout hallelujah. You know, every one of these scriptures we're looking at, we could spend several hours on just rejoicing. But I want to minister to your faith in this area. And there shall be no more curse. There is coming a time when we can say we will be saved. Amen? There will be no more curse of death or anything that contributes to the category of death. And anything that contributes to the category of death right now is ours and at our disposal if we can learn to call upon it. We can walk under the victory of being away from the curse of death. But we have to appropriate as we do our salvation. We have to learn to appropriate the deliverance from the things that are in our lives that are not heavenly quality. And if it's not fit to belong in heaven, it's not fit to dwell in this temple, which is the temple of God. And then I have the privilege of calling upon the incorruptible seed power and going through the intercessory power of Jesus Christ and bringing it to the throne. And my Father is obligated. He's bound by a contract with me, a covenant with me, and He has to loose me from it. Hallelujah. And that's not twisting His arm. That's proclaiming the sovereign power of God over any blooming devil that ever wanted to get a hold of you or I. Hallelujah. I hate the devil. I hate him. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. There's such an anointing here. Brother Glenn, I'm going to ask you to help me stop in all sincerity, because I don't abuse it on purpose, but I need help this morning. There are three areas of warfare that we enter into, or two areas, and I'll show that to you. Before I read those scriptures, there is an absolute area of my mind. When I say absolute, I mean that is a firm area where I resist God authority. I resist all authority, but my mind is made up. I'm going to do it. I shut myself off to any other feeding, and I absolutely am going to do it. I determine in my mind that I am going to whatever. I call that the absolute of my will. Now, God created me in such a way that I can exercise that anytime I want. Back in creation, to verify this, when He assigned Adam the assignment to take care of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, and the knowledge of the tree of life, He told him to take care of the garden. And if you study the words on that, it really means he was assigned the responsibility of putting a hedge around it. But that gave him an immoral will. God did not put the hedge around it. Adam was born with the assignment to take care of it himself. You and I have been born with the assignment to take care of that very mind. All right, that's putting it in a simple way. That's the only way I can deal with it. Okay, the second ever absolute that there is in my life is the mind of God. And the mind of God is untouchable by anything of darkness. That is an absolute. Do you understand what I'm saying? The absolute is holiness, the standard of which is in heaven. It cannot be touched by Satan. It cannot be touched by anything of sin. To me, it stands for supernatural. And to me, it is available to me because I have the living Spirit of God to create fellowship with Him so that I can call upon the power to bring it to be activated in my life. And the Holy Spirit, and in Ephesians, Paul says, it isn't the fullness of the Spirit, but it's a down payment, so to speak. The earnest of the Spirit. All right? We couldn't contain the fullness of the Spirit. It would burn us. It would consume us. Because the principle of without holiness, no man shall see God is this. In the present state that we are, because of the fallen nature, to stand in the presence of God would radiate such holiness that we would crumble in death immediately in our innermost being. Moses found that out on the mountaintop. Okay. That's why we got to have a new body. A new flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. All right? So don't anybody tell you that we're teaching or preaching that you're going to run around and be Jesus on this earth. You aren't. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But I'll tell you what's the truth. I believe with all of my heart. The kingdom of God has got to come and be established and reign through a people that are as God created them originally. Otherwise, Satan would have won the battle. And those people are going to be the final church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And they are the ones that are going to conquer the last enemy, which is what? Death. And they're going to be translated into the kingdom. And it's going to happen. I personally believe we're living in that age and that you and I have that privilege. Only one thing I want to interject here is in Hebrews 11 it says Enoch was translated. How? By faith. There is the privilege granted to you and I to escape death. And we can walk into eternal life realm by faith. Not by works, but by faith. Hallelujah. And because of my desire to be what God wants me to be, I'm shooting for the highest. All right? But I'm sure not going to tell you. All right? I don't want to get zapped right now. Okay. All right. In First Corinthians, the third area is what I call the wavering area. We had the absolute of my mind, the absolute of God's mind. Then there's the wavering mind. And that's where I have God's, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, and I have my mind. That's where most of us are today. And yet, we waver between the two, and Paul says it's the area that he battles in. Well, now, I have found that under my mind, I was open to an easy prey for every demonic spirit that wanted to come and go at will. And also, under my mind, or the original nature, I inherited many evil spirits through the bloodlines and some other things. We'll get into that in a minute. But when I entered into this wavering thing, here's what happened. I opened myself up to being ministered to by oppressing spirits that wanted to gain control of me. And I had the word power to flee from those spirits, and they would hit me in the weakness of my flesh because they know the weakness of my flesh area. And they would batter against me to the point where I would either flee them or into the holiness of God. And Psalm 25:1 says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." So I know that I can flee into the realms above the heavenlies where Christ sits, and in the heavenlies above the authority of the demons. Or I can give in to them and entertain them. And as I entertain demonic activity, I become seared to the fact that it's wrong. And Romans chapter 1 talks about this. And I end up giving in to the possession of them after a period of time. No matter whether I have an incorruptible seed or not, that becomes secondary because I resist the ministering power of the incorruptible seed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I waver. Okay. Now, 9 to 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to see that there are three spirits here. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit of searcheth all things, the deep things of God." So, we see there is a Spirit of God. Now verse 11. "What man knoweth the things of a man save what? The Spirit of man." Okay? That is the absolute. There is a spirit of man. God's not going to violate my spirit of man in action. He's going to minister to it and say, "Voluntarily come to me and make a decision towards me." But exercising the authority over that is up to me. Please hear that. That's why many of you come out for deliverance time after time after time, and you go right back home and you get into the same crud again, and you get demonized seven times worse, and you got to come back for it. All right? Boy, that's hitting it right where it's at, though. Isn't that truth? You know, when you preach deliverance, you don't win friends and influence people, do you? All right? Then there's another spirit. And now we have received not the spirit of the world. There is a spirit of the world, and that is Satan and his demonic forces. All right? Now, we know for sure there are three heavens. There's more, I think. But we know for sure there's three. There's the heavens where the stars dwell. All right? And then there is a third heaven, because Paul talks about being caught up into the third heaven. And in that third heaven, he heard things not lawful to utter. That tells me that is the spiritual place where the power of the Spirit of God ministers with a clarity that cannot be understood or used on this earth, for it would consume us. It's too holy. Do you understand? is so holy that Paul heard up there that in our unholy state it would cause destruction. But that tells me if there's a one in a three heaven, there's got to be a two. And that's where demonic forces are in action today. Okay? And that's where the spirit of this age comes from to attack. The spirit of this world would come to attack. Now, so turn with me now to Mark chapter 7, verse 14. You know, we've attempted an impossible task this morning. Maybe we can split this up over two. Because I know I didn't miss God. And you take time to read it, but I want to draw your attention to two scriptures. First of all, in verse 16, it says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And then in verse 21, it says, For out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and so forth. In verse 23 it says, all these evil things come from within and defile the holy man. The word defile means to make unholy, to take a vessel that has the potential of being clean and causing it to be unclean. So I see that I am open to a ministering whereby I have to make a choice at times. A choice between that which will make me clean or that which will make me unclean. Now, it says in the Word of God that the heart is desperately wicked. Okay? And that's found in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, in case you want to look it up. So it tells me that in the absolute area of where my mind dwells, there is nothing of good that can come of it, but that desperate wickedness can come from it. Now, I can stay morally pure and control my mind, you know, and there's a lot of morally good people. But there is still the desperate wickedness that lies there and that has the potential of coming forth in different areas. All right? You need to see that. Amen. I appreciate any interjection from anything that you have. You read Romans 7, 21 to 25, but I want to direct your attention to 2 Thessalonians 2, 2. 7:21 to 25, you know, is Paul talking about wrestling with his flesh and so forth. But I want to direct your attention to 2 Thessalonians 2, 2. Do you ever have Thessalonians hide on you? If it didn't come out like this, I wouldn't be able to find it. Why do you suppose it comes out like that? That's the key to finding Timothy, because they hide too. Go to the page that falls out of your Bible. Pray you never lose it. dear Lord, now I lost chapter. Chapter 2, verse 2. I want you to see something here that was really... Paul is speaking, and he says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. So he's talking about a people, and he's saying, hey, guard your mind so that what I'm going to tell you is not shaken to the point where you're going to get defeated. Okay? And here's how it could happen. Paul says, by spirit, by word, by letter. Now, Paul's sending them a letter. He's conveying a spirit to them. And he's doing it with a written word. And he says, I'm sending this to you, but Satan can twist this, and it can shake your mind. How can Satan shake my mind? By demonic forces, by spiritual forces. He can attack my mind. And if I'm not careful, and if I don't fight the battle, and that's what we're learning is warfare here, if I don't fight the battle, I give in then to evil spirits and they become a part of my nature. Amen. and I involuntarily become subject to their whims and ways. Number two, he says the spiritual warfare area is nor by word. So there are words expressed that can attack my mind and cause me to have oppression and so forth, and bring upon me curses, and ultimately leading to possession. And we'll get into that. Number three, it says by the letter. That is the physical. Now, my physical can get me in a whole peck of trouble. And if I dabble with it, let me use a crude example. If I were to go into a tavern and just have one beer every day, or every other day, probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Sure wouldn't be the best thing in the world, and don't do it. Don't say I said you should. But what I would be doing was courting, and my members would be courting Satan. I'd be tempting God. And eventually, it would become such an ingrained part of me that one would lead to two, would lead to ten, and I would become enslaved by alcohol and open myself up to a spirit related to alcoholism, which opens my mind up to the spirit realm of the second heaven, demonic forces, and then I'm open to everything that there is when I'm under the influence of those spirits. And that's ask any druggie, and they'll tell you about it. When I was under the influence of Thorazine and Elavil and some of these other drugs for a long time, and in a mental institution, you know, we became open to demonic traffic. And I know Sister Irma will probably be sharing a lot on that. Shock treatments, etc. We become open to much of this traffic in the demonic realm. Okay. Now, the other scripture, let's go on. Some of the tools that are used by the enemy or our weak flesh to bring it on. And the number one thing that we need to learn to deal with, and Satan has so effectively hidden it from us, is that by inheritance, we have demonic forces active in us. We do. I don't know if you believe that or not. I didn't for a while. And I got a teaching here on iniquities that will show you how it worked in me. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. By the way, don't listen to the speaker, but listen to the word behind it. I urge you to get a copy of that tape, or if someone else has got a teaching on it, get theirs. But learn the power of the following scripture that we're going to look at. We'll pick up right after the semicolon. Prior to that, we're dealing with graven images. But the Lord says here, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Through the bloodline of the fathers, and we go into the details of this and how the blood comes down through the father and not the mother, and so on and so forth, and it fully explains it. Iniquities are not sin. Iniquities are the force that drives you to commit the transgression. The word iniquity means a crooked or perverse or a bent action drive that causes you to commit a transgression, which is a sin. So it is that inner force. Do you deal with any inner force? Don't raise your hand, but I just wonder how many this would hit home with. We have got inner forces, you know, that we're constantly fighting against. And it seems like we confess the sin of the thought, and we wrestle with it. It torments us continuously. And it seems to be a family trait a lot of times, or whatever it might be. But you know what I'm talking about? Those are the crooked tendencies. 99 times out of 100, you inherited them down through the bloodline. They are handed down unto the fourth generation, and then perpetually they're handed down more and more. And the more they go down the bloodline, the bolder they become, the more spiritual force they have, and the stronger they become. All right? Pardon?
I just said
everybody adding to it. That's right. There's spiritual force in that. Okay, let's look at one other area where they're inherited. There's other areas, but I want your attention to these two. and it's found in Deuteronomy 23:2. 20, verse 5. There's actually four of them. Just the last part of it is what I read. Deuteronomy, what did I say? Okay, I should know it from heart by now. 23 and verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. We could sum up the word bastard by saying sins of uncleanness. Okay? Where a child has been born out of wedlock, and a curse is brought on not only that individual, but on the child that's born out of that relationship, and it goes on, and the curse stays with it through 10 generations. There's good teachings on this back there. So we see that we inherit. Now, the next argument that I hear along this line and that I used effectively was, well, Jesus died for me and became a curse, it says in Galatians 3, on the tree, so that I would be free from the curse. Well, there's two areas. Number one, the curse of ultimate death and defeat in hell, I'm free from. But the second curse is these curses that we're talking about here, but we have to appropriate the freedom from those curses, just as we did our salvation. Amen. It's not automatic. Amen. Now, if you don't believe it, you put it to the test. And here's how you put it to the test. Look at Psalm 1. Thank you, Lord. We'll obey you instead of our notes. This is what God says is his utmost plan or desire for you and I. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It is the will of God for you and I to bring forth fruit. A principle of fruit is that it bears like of what it is. All right? God wants us to bring forth fruit that is a godly fruit. And it's from the fruit that seeds are planted in to bring forth other fruit. It's the dunamis power of God in motion. Leaves shall not wither. There's an unusual thing about a leaf. The leaf is a part of the tree, and it is actually a photosynthesis. Am I pronouncing that right, that process? It converts sunlight, light now, into a syrupy, sugary substance that feeds life into the tree. But more than that, if you'll study a leaf, you'll see that no leaf will ever shade another leaf from receiving sunlight. In God's miraculous method of creation, hallelujah, I put it to the mom and I walked through the woods and we put it to the test. And leaves are always created unless you've got the pot overstuffed, and then they struggle to reach out for sunlight, you know. But the leaves are always reaching and faced in such a way that there's a rotation or on either side, or they're staggered somehow so that each one will receive sunlight and not block the other one. Let me tell you, that's body ministry in action too. Hallelujah. And if you're studying the leaves for the healing of the nations, it's exciting because that's just what it means. Hallelujah. Woo! Maybe we can teach that when we're here. Another time. And, there's so much in God's Word. How do you know where to quit? You know, the further, closer you get, the further behinder you are with Him. It's just, okay, rejecting God is the second, one of the second ways that we open ourselves and the enemy. Romans chapter 1. Now, I don't recommend any Bible other than the King James for your day-to-day study for the meat of the Word. But sometimes another translation sure helps me. And this is one of those sometimes, all right? So I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. And starting with verse 18. And I want you to get the principle of how rejecting God opens us up to demonic force. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness, now listen to this, they repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. That means that they have the truth of God, but they use their will and they cause the will of God not to come forth. They voluntarily do that. They exercise the absolute of their mind, ignoring the absolute of God, ignoring the wavering, because they have to go through a place of wavering, because it's the job of the Holy Spirit to minister to us there. And then they open themselves until they're inoperative in truth. For that which is known about God is evident to them, all right, and made plain in their inner conscience, because God Himself has shown it to them. And then this goes on about His showing it through creation, but I'm talking about in a little different aspect, but not out of context. But let's drop down now to verse 23. And by them the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal man, birds, beasts, and reptiles. Therefore God hath given them up in the lust of their own heart to sexual iniquity. Now, we don't need to limit that just to sexual iniquity. That process is what... Now, God is not willing that any should perish. So when that says God was giving them up, what this means is they have turned by practicing the habits and have rejected God so much that they've opened themselves up to full possession of demonic spirits, and they have seared their conscience to hearing the voice of the incorruptible seed or the voice of God, and instead they can only satisfy the lust of their absolute mind, which says, I must serve this God that now has a hold of me. God, and that has become the God of their life rather than the Holy Spirit God that we know to. All right? Amen. It's noon. Let me just finish this part of it. Speech is another way. Look at me at James 3, 6 to 18. You know, Satan wants me to feel foolish teaching this. No, it's from him, but I'm just telling you, that's the warfare that's going on. He says, you're a fool to teach this in this camp. These people know all this.
No, they don't.
That's just what he's telling me. You bet it is. I know it. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at the power of the tongue. Verse 3 of chapter 3. Behold. Boy, when God says behold, that means pay up attention. We put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, that little rudder. That amazes me. You know that? When I look at the motor on our boat and that little doohickey that hangs down, and I turn the steering wheel, and the boat goes that direction, I keep looking at that thing, I say, this doesn't make sense to me, how that little thing can steer five of us in the boat, you know, and cause the whole, and against current, doesn't matter. No matter what force is coming against it, when I turn that steering wheel, that boat turns. Our tongue's the same way. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. A world of crookedness. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth, what now? The whole body. Oh, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And if you would get a picture of a wheel being on fire, that's what this is describing. And it's going forth in perpetual motion. Now, it's an exact duplicate of what the power of the Holy Spirit is. There's the dunamis power is an explosive power, but I like to think of it as a wheel going around, and it duplicates power in others that comes forth. You follow me? And it creates life when it comes forth. When we speak words with our tongue, Satan has to come up with a duplicate, because he's the Antichrist symbol. He has to come up with a duplicate of everything that God has got. There has to be evil for everything good. It's a principle of creation. So, when words come out of us that are not pure heavenly words, it says here in James, they create a circuitous force or a perpetual motion force that goes forth to breathe death, because it's from Satan. All right? So curses come on us. Have you ever called somebody an idiot? Have you ever called your child a dummy? Have your parents ever told you, why can't you do anything right? I had two men tell me, I'll never succeed in life. And only by the grace of God, through tenacity and the grace of God, did I succeed in trucking reasonably well. And they both said to me, you're a loser, you might as well. And this is when I first got out of where I was at. And those words crushed me. And I walked under the curse of those words before I was saved. But then after I got saved, I realize that through Christ I can do all things. And those words have haunted me until I've learned that they cannot have anything to minister to me anymore. But our parents and well-meaning loved ones, our friends, we ourselves bring curses upon us by the power of our words. It's 12:05 and the ladies have got lunch cooking. You help me remember, we're at number... to the last part, will you? And we'll continue whenever the Lord would have it to be. There is power here this morning, and delivering power. I want you to know that. And those of you that raise your hand about the spirit of fear, God knows ahead of time, even. Let's stand together. Well, now, I want to minister against the spirit of fear. And I would like you to read with me 2 Timothy chapter 1. I have found the only way, and we'll close with this. Don't let Satan tell you you're hungry. He don't like it when you fast. Don't let your flesh say you need it. None of us are dying of starvation yet. No, we don't know what it is, sister. Amen. I'm not saying I want to know what it is either. Diets are bad enough. We relate to that, some of us do, don't we? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Verse 7. Let's just read verse 7. Before we do that, those of you that are wrestling with spirits of fear, well, let me just quickly say three areas that we're going to attack. The spirit of fear, the spirit of having a sound mind, which is the mind of Christ in action, and the nature of the love of Jesus Christ. That's number two area we're going to attack. And we're going to attack the power area where Satan would minister to our faith that we don't have the power of God to do the living Word of God. And I'll tell you why we're going to do that, and then we'll put Satan. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear means to be a coward by walking in the opposite direction of trusting God. I don't like to be called a coward. That's holy pride, all right? Okay. But here's what God has given us. He has given us power. That's dunamis power. He has given that to us people. Satan can only be destroyed because he's darkness. And light exposes darkness. So that power is light. You can shut off every light in this building. I'm not preaching, but hear me. You can shut off every light in this building. Let it minister to your faith. In the middle of the night, and walk in here with a light the size of a pinhead, and standing back there, you will see that light. It exposes darkness. Darkness cannot contain. Light draws and separates. Hallelujah! You've got that in you. God gave it to you. Do you believe it? Minister faith to yourself. I believe it. Increase our faith, God, that we would be set free from the power of the liar. Hallelujah. Secondly, we have been given the gift of the Christ kind of love. Without love, no man's going to see God either, because that is holiness in action. I say it cautiously but truthfully. That's the ministering spirit of God. If you've got unforgiveness in you, if you've got an attitude of striking back, if you've got hurts in you where you've been wounded and you're having trouble getting over the wounds, it's probably because you've not totally forgiven. And God can't heal the bruise of the wounds until we learn to minister the life of Christ. Remember, the last time I ministered, he was reviled, but he reviled not, it says. Oh, it's an awesome thing. Finally, we have the sound mind, and that is we have the mind of Christ. All right. We're going to do business. And I only can do it from the Scriptures. And we're going to deal specifically with the spirit of fear. And I will read to you the Scriptures, not the Scriptures, but what the Scriptures deal with regarding fear. But let's go to prayer together. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I desire to stand pure before you. Cleanse me from all iniquity and sin. I truly desire to be as you. Forgive me of all known sin and unknown sin. Sins of ignorance. Inherited sin. Father, let me stand pure before you now. Know my heart as it is in this moment. And I repent. Father, thank you for the gift of healing, for salvation, for your forgiveness, for your grace, and by the power of the blood. Because of the blood, I stand forgiven as an untouchable one by the powers of darkness. And Father, I therefore come to you, and I ask you to take authority over the powers of darkness that dwell within me, that relate to fear, that relate to my sound mind, that relate to my faith in your power, and that relate to the spirit of love that is pure and holy. Father, I recognize I have not full understanding, but I receive deliverance by faith now. I ask that you bind violent spirits, that they would come out peaceably, that they would not create a scene and disturbance. Now, Satan, I put you on notice, and I command you to listen. I am a child of God, set free by the blood of Jesus. At one time I served you. I no longer do. My Father has given me authority to stand in warfare And he is going to set you loose for me.
By ordering you
now to loose all demons that are oppressing me and or possessing me in the following areas. In Genesis 21:7, it says that we have a spirit of death that we could fight. If you're hampered by a fear of death, there's many reasons why we don't have time to get into all that. You renounce it by faith right now. And you just say, I command you, spirit of death, to break your hold on me and to loose me. In Genesis 46:3, it says we can have a spirit of fear of the future. Oh, and that's where witchcraft and all that sickness comes in. We always got to be nosy and know what's going to happen instead of trusting God. All right. Satan, for I have been forgiven for trusting witchcraft and having fear of the future. I renounce all sins of witchcraft. And I demand that you loose me now. And you set me free. I am not afraid of the future. I am a child of God. He holds the future for me. You cannot touch the path of victory. Be gone from me in Jesus' name. The spirit of danger, the fear of danger, something's always going to happen, and I don't know. And there's many sister spirits, but it's in Exodus 14:13. The spirit of danger. Are you afraid to get in cars, afraid to come out of your house, afraid to go here, afraid to walk under a ladder, afraid of a black cat, afraid of this, afraid of that? Oh, we could go on and on forever, couldn't we? Afraid to get off an elevator, afraid to get on. Oh, golly sakes, you know, we just... You got where we're coming from?
Yeah.
If you got something in that area, let's deal with it. Father, thank you for the victory over fear of danger. Satan, I command you to loose me from the fear of danger. For my God is a protector. And I dwell in His hand. And no force can loose me. To save time, I'm going to run through these and we'll take them all together. They're in Psalm 23:4 and Proverbs 1:33. It speaks of the spirit of evil. You know, there's a religious spirit, and it comes through in our dress, it comes through in our actions, it comes through under condemnation, through false teaching, through teaching that was leveled at you by the letter of the law rather than the intent of the Word of God, and people are walking under the fear of evil continuously. And my God says in the Word of God, deliver us from the evil one, number one. And Jesus prayed, keep us from the evil one. Don't hide in caves. He says, you're going to live amongst the evil one, but you don't have to fear him. Jesus already said you could be protected from it. Another one is in spiritual warfare, Psalm 27, the spirits that are attacking us. You don't need to be afraid of them anymore. You respect it, but you learn how to do the warfare. You don't cower from them. The spirit of nothing, that's imaginations. The greatest thing you got to fear is fear itself, and you don't have to fear that. So, and, there's quite a story behind that. But it's Psalm 53:5. The spear of distress due to enemies attacking us. That's where harassment comes in. Where the enemies are coming around and at us and we fear we're going to get defeated. You walk around in fear that I'm going to give in. I've got the victory, but I don't know how long I can hang on. I often say I'm like I jumped off a building. It's 80 stories high. I'm about at floor 40, and I wish I could change my mind. But I'm on the way down. Thank God, God's down there to catch me. You know? Psalm 118:6. The last one, the spirit of darkness. That was a biggie for me. Song of Solomon 3:8 shows us that we don't have to be afraid of that. Well, those are fear spirits. Father, thank you for hearing that. And thank you for that word. Satan, all of these spirits that we have just covered, you are defeated in my life. I followed you. But I've been forgiven for following you.
And I'm following my God and my Father. I'm protected from you by the power of the blood. And in the name of Jesus, you loose me now. I renounce all these spirits of fear.
Oh, you just take a deep breath and you breathe out and you just let them come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. You spirits related to fear, wherever you are, you come out in Jesus' name. In this moment now, we've taken authority over you. You do not have control. In Jesus' name, you be loosed. In Jesus' name, you be loosed. You spirits of fear. You spirits of fear. Kandalanabasiyanahalaba. Okay, that's fine. Those of you that are experiencing manifestations, we'll pray with you. For the rest of you, we'll pray for the lunch, and the ladies have cooked. Father, thank you for meeting us. We're anxious to be back with you. Bless the food. Thank you for being so good to us here in America. Lord, bless our fellowship. Bless these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever.
the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's healing.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.